Hi guys, it's Jess Van Den here from etherealdesigns.com, and today I'm very happy to have two wonderful people here to chat with us today. We've got Jenna Corey and Jen Nitzel from the Maven Circle. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hi there.
How are you today on your Sunday evening? Has it been a nice weekend?
Yeah, it was a nice weekend. It was my birthday weekend, so.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's been a good weekend. It's really, really hot here.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. Quite chilly here, but, you know, it's getting warmer, so that's nice.
Good.
Although I think our chili is a bit different to your chili in Portland, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Okay, so today we're going to have a little chat about fighting overwhelm in your life and your business, especially for those people out there like us who are self-employed and who are sitting at home all day, every day, and have to make, you know, endless decisions about what to do with our time, you know, how to divide up our time and how to find that balance between, you know, that work-life balance. And I know you ladies have a lot to say on this topic. But before we get started, I'd just love it if you could give us a quick intro of who you are and what you're up to, just for those of you who don't, those of us listening who don't know who you are.
Sure. So I'm Jenna Corey, and I run a blog called Miss Modish, and I also do marketing consulting on the side with indie entrepreneurs. I help them market themselves and get the word out and kind of learn how to market themselves in a non-icky way, because
awesome.
I know it's hard for us to get the word out about our artwork and
mm-hmm.
crafts. So
mm-hmm.
I help that, and that's basically it. And then with the Maven Circle, we'll tell you more about that.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, and I am Jen Nitzel, and I'm a long, long, long time crafter, and in my spare time, I kind of have found this interest in event planning. It started with organizing craft sales here and there, and then led to this big event that I organized called Bargain Hunting in Portland, Oregon, and I also help out with a bunch of other events like World Domination Summit, which is an
Ooh.
Event that just happened here in Portland, Oregon.
I'm so jealous. I would have loved to have been there.
Yeah, it was awesome.
You'll have to come some year.
I want to come, definitely.
Organize lots of other events as well.
Cool.
That's kind of where I'm coming from.
All right. And so you two have somehow come together to make this amazing thing called the Maven Circle. How did that happen?
Well, Jen originally approached me about a different idea. We had a different concept about kind of a marketing site for crafters.
Mm-hmm.
And as we were talking about our idea, we were also just chatting and learning about each other and our personal lives. And we both realized that we were on the same kind of path of trying to de-stress and trying to take our lives back and just not be so overworked all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
And over like many, many, many conversations and many like, you know, emails and whatever other correspondence we use, this whole other course kept just kind of rearing its head. And at some point we just said, wait a minute, I think this is the thing that we're
yeah.
supposed to do. And so it's interesting because I think we really are coming from a similar perspective of sort of like that indie business person. But like, how are they living their lives and how is their
yeah.
business fitting into their overall lifestyle?
Absolutely. It's a real challenge. And, you know, I've been self-employed for a couple of years now, and it's, you know, I certainly still haven't found the magic kind of balance between work and life and everything else. And it's hard for us too, because our work is often something that is our passion. So it is,
yeah.
it's very much not separate from the rest of our lives. And we find ourselves kind of thinking about it at 3 o'clock in the morning when we can't sleep because we've got a fantastic idea.
Yeah,
and,
right.
and as wonderful as that is, sometimes it can get a little too much, especially when you have too many ideas, too many things, you know, kind of too many balls in the air and trying to, you know, make sure you still, I don't know, eat properly and sleep properly and all those sorts of things.
Exactly.
So I know that you guys have been talking about this and kind of thinking about this for a long time. What are some of the kind of most important changes that you've made in your life that have kind of brought you out of this feeling of overwhelm and trying to get that kind of calm balance in your lives, just personally, what are some of the things that you have found to be the most effective?
I can start. So for me, I, you know, this has been a many years of kind of learning and growing and changing, and hopefully I will continue to learn a lot more in the future about my own self-care and my own kind of happiness, etc. But I find that really taking good care of yourself more than anything else helps with your overwhelm level. We actually just recorded a video a couple of days or last week where we talked a lot about this, about the importance of giving yourself what you need. So in other words, eating properly, drinking enough water, doing some type of body movement, whether it's exercise or even if it's just a simple walk around the block, something to kind of get you moving in the beginning of the day.
Yeah, because it's so easy to just get up and get on your computer and then it's 5 o'clock at night and you haven't actually left the room. Yeah,
exactly. I think the biggest shift for me is exactly that. It's why I used to jump, you know, wake up, jump straight on my computer, get into email land, and then it'd be 11 o'clock a.m. and I hadn't even eaten anything yet. Mm-hmm. And I was just so completely overwhelmed with work because it was all I was thinking about. Yeah. So my biggest shift was to make a specific kind of morning routine of taking care of myself so that I jump out of bed, don't even look at my email, don't think about work. Mm-hmm. My first thing is to drink water and then exercise and then eat and then I'll start working. And that alone has made a huge difference in just being able to kind of look forward to the day instead of dreading the day.
Yeah. You know, something I've just recently found is I've been doing like a walk to run class recently. So a lot of walking, a lot of running, a lot of back and forth. And like today, for example, I thought I was going to go on a like 5 minute walk around the block to walk my dog. And 40 minutes later, I was coming back home and I realized like I'm so acclimated. This has become so much part of my regular routine that I don't even notice it. I don't even think about it. Mm. It's just something that happens for me. And it's actually something that I need. And it really affects the overall quality of my life and makes me feel happier, calmer. So that when the day starts to hit me and I'm, you know, having to deal with things that I wasn't planning on dealing with and my day's feeling too tight or whatever, I have reserves. I have extra to give to everything that I do.
That's it. Because if we're, you know, a lot of us, we're always kind of just bouncing from kind of crisis to crisis in a way, or from, you know, job to job that we need to complete. And we don't actually take that time to step back and say, hey, hang on a second. I need to build up my reserves or otherwise I'm just going to completely burn out. And I don't know about you girls, but I've certainly experienced burnout.
Oh yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
Well, I think that a lot of what we have figured out is really the result of many times of burning out, many times of feeling like, wait a minute, I've created this life for myself that seems so blissful and perfect on the outside. And now I'm living it. And I'm not taking care of basic needs that I have. And that's no quality of life for anybody. So we've really learned through trial and error.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of, everybody has to find their own center and their own, you know, way of doing things. I know myself, you know, if I'm not, you know, exercising regularly and eating properly, then it's kind of a dark cloud kind of comes over your head. And you know, then you start getting those, what do you got? You ladies call them mind gremlins. You start getting, you start getting them chatting in your ear going, oh, you're not doing this or you're not doing that, or you should be doing this. You should. And, that drives people a bit crazy. It drives me a bit crazy anyway.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So how do you recommend we deal with those little mind gremlins then when they come along?
Well, there's actually a number of different things that you can do to start kind of combating the mind gremlins. It sort of depends. I guess different times you can try different things, and I imagine different things could even work for different people. Mm-hmm. But here's a couple of quick kind of tips of things that you can do. One thing you can do when you start like feeling like you're getting all this negative inner dialogue going on, you can meditate. That's something that Jenna spends a lot of her time doing, and maybe you can describe what that's like.
I love meditation. That is my favorite, has become my favorite way to
distance myself from those mind gremlins. I think taking even just 5 to 10 minutes to sit with your thoughts, all of those thoughts as they come racing in, and practice detaching from them, mm-hmm. practice letting them go, because that practice aids you in when you're feeling busy and frustrated and stressed out and have so much stuff going on. Suddenly you realize how to kind of let things go and mm-hmm. shift more towards what you're doing right now instead of focusing on every single little thing that needs to be done, you know?
Yep.
Get you more to the present, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
One way of dealing with, like, if you have a really particularly nasty mind gremlin that's, like, just rooting a hole in your brain and you're thinking, I gotta get rid of this, mm-hmm. it's, like, some old, ugly thing that you can't shake. Mm-hmm. I find going on, like, a walk or a run or getting out, particularly in nature, mm-hmm. where it's, like, it just is kind of uplifting and makes you feel better in general.
Yeah.
And then imagining you're basically shedding whatever this negativity is and releasing it. And a lot of times what I try to do is I imagine myself basically letting go of control of whatever that situation is. Because mm-hmm. most of the time it's that we're holding on to something and it's not meeting our expectations in some mm-hmm. way. So just trying to let go of it a little bit and kind of moving that energy around a little bit can be super good.
Literally, like, physically moving will help shift your mental energy and your emotional energy.
Yeah.
Cool. So meditation, definitely exercise, and just getting out there into nature. And I mean, especially for people who live, I mean, I live in the country, so I'm lucky I can just walk down the street and go into the bush and go for a walk. But for those people who are kind of stuck in the city, that can be a bit of a challenge as well, I guess, not being surrounded by green and life and energy.
Right. It seems to me, you know, we live in the city and we're fortunate in Portland that there's a lot of green here. But if a person needed to, you could definitely go to a park or something like that. And then the other thing I wanted to say, kind of going back to that sort of nasty mind gremlin thing, is it's one part exercise and it's one part, like, visualization where you're actually really imagining releasing it. And that combined two pieces really makes a big difference.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Another thing I would add to when the mind gremlins are kind of on the attack, when you hear them, if you're telling yourself, I can't do this, or I should be doing this, or if you find yourself realizing that you're saying those things, just flip the script, and instead of saying, I can't do this, literally flip the script and say, I can,
right.
I will,
yeah.
I'm going to, and instead of, I should do this, which is kind of a guilty, like, makes you feel guilty about it.
Absolutely, yeah.
If you say, I choose to do this, it kind of gives you a different way of feeling about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, so much of the time, the way that we talk to ourselves is the thing that is either making or breaking our day. Like, if we're thinking about things in a way where we're, like, forcing ourselves to do things and almost punishing ourselves into submission or something like that, it's like, we're going to be completely bummed out and have a terrible day as a result of it. So just kind of listening to what am I saying to myself? And is there a way that I can tweak what I'm saying so that I can still get the job done, but not make myself feel like a victim of my own thoughts?
Yeah, that's important. And I think another important thing is, and I've found this, is kind of forgiving myself for not being perfect all the time. Which is a real challenge because, you know, when you're running your business, especially if it's just you, you know, everything falls on your shoulders. And no doubt you're running a life as well. You might have kids or a husband or a cat, in my case, two cats to feed and look after and, you know, a house to run and all those things. And we, you know, we have that superwoman complex where we want to be perfect and awesome all the time. But it's just not possible, really.
No, it really isn't.
And, you know, I often just go, hey, okay, I need to forgive myself for being human. And I also need to forgive myself for realizing that, you know, work is not everything. And I need to remember to take some me time and, you know. But
absolutely.
Yeah. To flip around on that, though, do you ever find that you kind of fall the other way where you, especially when you've had a bit of a burnout or something like that, you kind of fall into that lull of having, you know, not wanting to do anything. You don't want to think about it. You don't want to look at it. You don't want to look at another email. And how do you kind of come back out of that again?
I think that your body's taking a self-imposed break. If yeah. you're not giving yourself what you need, then your body's going to find a way to kind of force you to take a break if it needs to.
I think that that is absolutely true. I think that, you know, we do need to pay attention to the signs that our body is giving us. I mean, that holds true for everything that we're doing in our day-to-day lives. You know, mm-hmm. you might, something that I recently discovered was that we did this time tracking exercise, actually within the course, we did this time tracking exercise where I realized I was spending all this time on Facebook a day. And then at some point started to realize that I actually wasn't feeling really happy with that time that yeah. I was spending. Like I was starting to feel myself feeling behind and mm-hmm. stressed out, but I was still spending time on Facebook. And I realized I was having this like kind of not very fulfilling experience. And the more that you consciously start to pay attention to how are these activities making me feel, yeah. the more you can start to go, okay, not to say that I don't still love Facebook, I'm on there, but you know, just really curbed how much time I'm spending on there because my quality of life, I think, has improved and mm-hmm. I feel happier and calmer. And I think that, you know, kind of going back to this overwhelm feeling, sometimes we get so plugged in. It's like we don't have enough time for ourselves to think our own thoughts, to walk in nature, mm-hmm. to just unplug a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. It is so hard to be. I mean, the other week I made some macarons for my husband Nick's birthday party, and before we could eat them, I was like, I need to take a photo so I can blog about this. And I'm just like, and he actually said, geez, we can't eat anything without photographing it these days. And I mean, that's not true. I don't photograph every meal or anything, but you know what I mean? You get into yeah. that mindset that you must record everything or you must share everything. And it's just a little bit crazy making, really.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're real strong believers in just like finding the balance that's right for you. And so, you know, one person's Instagramming habits is going to look really different from another person's Instagramming habits, mm-hmm. but that you want to try to find a balance in your life, you know, between the you time, the yeah. work time, the downtime, the social media time, mm-hmm. all those times.
Yeah, absolutely. Cause it can suck you in and really kind of take over your life. Especially
yeah, right.
if you're trying to keep up with it, especially if it, you know, is kind of a support for your business as well. Cause you kind of, you're in that weird limbo of like, ooh, I should be doing this for work, but at the same time it's for fun. But then you feel like, oh no, it's actually stressful now and I don't want to do this anymore. And all of those sorts of things kind of come along.
Oh yeah. You know, this next week we're going to be talking about, jealousy and envy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And
I'm not as cool as that person is. Yeah.
What's that?
That feeling that I'm not as cool as that person is.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things in my research that I discovered was that, and I kind of already knew this as well, but it just kind of adds to the overall conversation that we're having, is how much the media, basically the tactics that they're using, it encourages people to be jealous of each other or feel like I have to have this thing to be cool or whatever. And so if we're spending tons and tons of hours using social media, we're being just inundated with like what everybody else is doing all the time. And we can become totally distracted from what am I doing and yeah. where am I at?
Yeah.
And, you know, so I guess long story short, you want to try to find a better balance with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have to unplug.
Yeah.
And then if you do hit that point of overwhelm, of burnout, where you're just like, I cannot do this anymore, like give yourself time off to just be burnt out and just do nothing.
Yeah.
If that's what you need,
yeah.
I think that you need to do nothing in those moments and reconnect with yourself. And then going forward, trying to take little moments each and every day to take care of yourself, that will decrease the chance of burnout happening.
Yeah. Because most of the time when you're to that point where you're burning out, you start to realize like, oh, I didn't eat lunch today, or when's the last time I had a drink of water, or I've been getting up early for the last 4 days or whatever. And your body is literally needing some downtime.
Yeah. And I mean, I know when I first kind of started full time at this, and I was, you know, I'm that type of obsessive. I get obsessive about something for a while. And I think a lot of us are like that. And you just have that drive and you work every day, all day. And then you have that burnout time and you realize, hang on a second, I need to pull back a bit and be like normal people and maybe have a day off a week, as amazingly strange as that might sound. That's it. And, you know, like for me, that takes the perspective of, I've made decisions such as I don't blog on the weekends and I try to stay off social media as much as possible on the weekends because I just need, you know, that disconnected time. And the truth of the matter is the world will not fall apart if you're not part of it for a day or two. And I think we forget that sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right.
Now, another thing I wanted to mention about this whole overwhelm thing is the idea of multitasking. Now, where do you ladies stand on the idea of multitasking?
I think we're both naturally tend to be multitasking because I think our society wants us to be, and we were taught to be, and we're trying to do so many things at once.
Yeah.
But really, we've learned that focusing on one thing at a time is the best way to get things done, really.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, it's actually, I know that there's been a lot of research done and there's been people saying like multitasking doesn't even exist because I guess the extreme version of multitasking is like being able to do things at the exact same time, which really most of us actually can't do.
True. Yeah.
But, you know, I think the more general term of multitasking of like doing a number of things, like sort of switching back and forth. Mm-hmm. I think they call it switch tasking or something like that. I guess it's actually more accurate to what we're really doing, but our society does require this of us and it is something that we have to do. And so learning how to balance that and figure out, okay, how much of this do I have to do in this kind of way? And how much of this can I finish and complete before I start the next thing?
Yeah. I mean, I know I find, you know, keeping on top of kind of the everyday tasks in my business, like fulfilling orders and dealing with email and blogging and all that sort of stuff, it tends to mean that I don't make the time for those long-term projects, the sort of stuff that I know will be important in the long run and that will build my business in the long run. But you feel like you're stuck on that treadmill where you're just going round and round and just keeping up and not actually moving forward in your business.
It's good, I would say, to have kind of chunks of time to do, like, say, I'm going to do my email, check it only once in the morning and once in the afternoon, and that's it, and have it closed the rest of the time, or to have, definitive, like, 20 minutes of, I'll tweet for 20 minutes here, and I'll Facebook for 20 minutes here, and actually schedule those little chunks of time and keep yourself to it.
Yeah.
It just helps it kind of not feel so overwhelming and chaotic. And going back, it also helps going back to our time tracking exercise. Mm. If you do time tracking for a few days and see exactly how you're spending all of your time, you'll realize you're on email way more than you probably thought you were. You're on social media more than you thought you were.
And
you'll discover how much time you're probably maybe wasting switching from task to task to task if you try to track it.
Yeah.
And then you can find big chunks where you can fit in more self-care, more time to work on new projects and stuff like that.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, you know, kind of talking about this whole like multitasking, switch tasking thing a little bit more. So if you are going between thing to thing to thing to thing, it can take between 5 and 15 minutes to transition between the different projects that you're doing.
That's Cheeto.
That's my dog Cheeto. basically what that means is that you could be wasting a ton of time if you're transitioning like constantly between things. Like if you're the kind of person who's getting a phone call and then you're switching back to your blog post and then you get a text and you're answering all these things in real time, you're probably losing like double or triple the amount of time that it's actually taking you to do each of those activities.
That's very true. And you kind of get to the end of the day and you it's almost like you wake up and go, what on earth have I done today?
And you feel really like flustered and stressed out and overwhelmed and like behind the eight ball. It's a not good feeling.
No, it really isn't. Now, do you guys have any kind of tips for sort of habits or rituals or routines around your work? So, for example, one that I've started doing recently is, it's very simple, is when I kind of sit down at my jewelry bench to start making stuff, I light a candle. And it's a nice scented candle. And it's just that little thing, and then at the end of the day, I put it out again. And it's almost like a little symbol to my subconscious that, yeah, now this is work time. Do you guys have any sort of ideas or rituals around that, around your work like that?
I mean, maybe sort of, kind of, not necessarily that for me, but what I do is when I'm getting ready to get to work is I get a big glass of ice water. Mm-hmm. I usually put a snack right next to me that I can reach with my hand. And like, it has to be that direct or else I know I won't go get one.
Yeah.
And then another thing I like to do is I pick out the podcast that I'm going to listen mm-hmm. to while I'm doing work that, like if I'm doing, for example, photo editing or something like that, I can listen to something. So I basically am like mapping out sort of my meeting my kind of personal needs while I'm working is the thing that I'm thinking about before I'm getting going.
Right. I love listening to podcasts while I make stuff because it's just that you get to engage your brain at the same time, especially when, like for me, I'm making the same pair of earrings I've made, you know, 100 times before, and it can get a little boring at times. So it's nice to have that kind of mental stimulation going on there as well.
Absolutely.
How about you, Jenna?
I would say I don't really have a definite ritual. I'm kind of keen on variety. I like having a lot of variety in my life. But I do definitely, before I work, I do also take a big, big glass of water. Mm. I take these pills every morning that are these blue-green algae. It's supposed to be really good for your mental stimulation and mm-hmm. your memory and your energy. And I take those every morning and then have my big glass of water. And I actually, it's funny you mentioned a scented candle. I have a certain incense that I use for meditation. So I do my 10-minute meditation mm-hmm. with that incense. And then that gets me in a really feeling in a state of attention and calm and focus. And that scent, just smelling that scent kind of automatically makes you feel that way. So that's my getting to work kind of brain state.
That's great. I mean, the sense of smell is so powerful. It can affect us so profoundly. So that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Definitely. Now, one more thing I do definitely want to kind of tackle before we finish up is the idea of fear and dealing with fear. And I think I wrote a blog post a while back about this, that, you know, if you're not feeling fear about something, you're not dreaming big enough. Like the fear can actually be a really important motivator in your work.
Yes.
But you don't want to let it get to the point where it's kind of immobilizing you.
Yeah.
So how do you guys deal with that sort of fear, that immobilizing fear? And also, how do you feel about fear as a motivator?
We definitely think that fear is a motivator. We just actually were filming one of our course videos talking all about fear and how it's actually so energizing to you. And we call it ride the butterflies. It's like that nervous energy will actually stimulate you to push further than you thought you could go, to go beyond what you thought you could. And I've also heard another saying called fear is just excitement without the breath. Okay. So literally just calming yourself before those scary moments to breathe into it and just give yourself kind of a moment of clarity before you're doing that scary thing. That's what helps me a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I was actually just remembering this acronym. I don't know if you've ever heard it before. Fear, false evidence appearing as real or something like that.
That's great.
Yeah, being that, you know, so much of the fear that we experience, it's like it's coming from our own thoughts and we're creating this situation where it's something that's scary. For me, like I spoke at an event, Hello Etsy, last year. I did the opening address.
Wow.
And leading up to doing that, I was nervous. And I spent about 2 weeks kind of prepping my mind and body so that I could even handle being up there. And of course, I memorized my script and all that sort of thing that I had prepared. But what I spent a lot of time doing was just imagining my own self feeling comfortable, like visualizing myself feeling comfortable. And then I was able to like do that because my mind knew what that looked like already. That makes any sense. That helped a lot. That really, really helped a lot. So, I guess the thing is like fear is something that's completely conquerable and it's something that you can get through. It's normal to feel afraid. And really, you know, a lot of people think, oh, a person's courageous who isn't afraid. No, the person that's courageous is the person that feels afraid and does it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I think it's really important to honor your fear and do it anyway. You know, that you've got something to offer the world and you're not quite sure if it's perfect, but just do it anyway. Put it out there because it's better to put it out there than to let it linger and never actually create or connect or do anything positive.
Absolutely. You know, we kind of think of life as like having two separate roads. Like one road is totally safe and like you can see it all the way to the end and it looks really like perfect and
nice and straight.
And and probably frankly it'll be boring because it's so you can already see the end result. But then there's this other road that has all these kind of like hills and valleys and you can't see around it and it's too like magical. You know there's got to be some magic back behind there, but there's no way you can know about it and there's probably some hard times too. And we think of, you know, that road as the road where we take risks and we experience fear and that most people would actually, you know, when they look back on their lives and they say, what did I do? Who was I? Like, what did I accomplish? That they would be way happier to take that bumpy, windy, crazy, up and down, hilly road that's unknown and full of lots of fear. Mm-hmm. But that is the kind of life that's rich and meaningful and worth living.
Absolutely. I think that's a fantastic place to end our little chat today. That's awesome. Before we do, though, I'd love it if you guys should share a little bit about the Catalyst course because I missed doing it last time because I think I was away or something and I was quite gutted. So I'm really, really looking forward to doing it this time. But for those people out there who've not heard of it before, what are you going to be covering and what's it all about?
We are excited to have you in there with us, first of all. I can't wait. It's a 4-week long course. Mm-hmm. It starts on August 13th. Mm-hmm. And the first week we cover self-care, happiness, why happiness is important,
setting up routines, kind of getting to get a better sense of like what your happiness level is and ways to increase your happiness level.
And ways to take better care of yourself and how to incorporate finding time for yourself into your days, how to make that a priority in your life.
And then
in week two, we conquer the mind gremlin.
Yeah, that's a lot of inner kind of dialogue related stuff. And we have a number of really specific hands-on exercises that people get to work through and discover their own kind of inner dialogue and how to go about combating that.
Really awareness is half the battle. Awareness of what you're telling yourself and awareness of how to deal with it is half the battle. So we bring a lot of awareness through those exercises and worksheets. And then the third week we are talking about emotional obstacles, which is mostly fear. We get really in depth in fear and guilt and just kind of how our thoughts end up leading to these emotions and how to navigate through them.
How to get unstuck, basically. And then in week four, we get more so into interpersonal communication and conflict resolution type stuff. So our feeling is like nobody really has a roadmap of how to navigate complex human relationships. And we all have many of them. And it's like, this is kind of an opportunity for people to build their little tool kits of ideas and things that they can take with them for their next situations that they might need to use it in.
Fantastic. That sounds great. I can't wait. And for anybody who'd like to check it out, you want to go to themavencircle.com and you can find everything about these lovely ladies there, as well as a link to the course.
Cool. Yes.
Awesome. Thank you. Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I just wanted to add this little quick little side note here that we have a combination of like videos and we have written content, very visually appealing and super good for like visual learners specifically, as well as hands-on worksheets and other awesome stuff.
Awesome. Yeah. kind of dealing with all the different learning modalities. That's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
And the community of other women that are in there is mm-hmm. so fun, really. The best part of the course is getting to talk to other like-minded women who are struggling with the same issues, who are also self-employed and also have families and also trying to balance it all. It's really eye-opening to kind of be able to experience communicating with each other really openly.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really important thing because, for most of us, we work at home and we don't kind of have those colleagues and that community unless we find it kind of online.
Exactly.
So that's going to be a really powerful takeaway as well.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Jenna and Jen, for chatting to me today. It's been lovely.
Yay, thank you.
And I can't wait to see you in the course.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't wait.
We can't wait to.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.